talked to a group of both career civil servant HR executives at federal agencies, and in a number of cases, chief human capital officers who are Senate confirmed political appointees. And we cover every major federal agency in Washington, and a number of the agency subcomponents, larger bureaus as well.
And this is all done, no names attached, so people can actually, you can actually get a sense as to what they really think and actually get some insights from them, right?
That's exactly correct. Everything that is said is off the record. Nothing is for attribution. If someone has something to say that's particularly telling or useful, we may quote it, but we don't attribute it to a particular person.
I've been digging through the report over the last couple hours, and there's some very, very interesting stuff in there. Anything? What's your top line as you're telling people about this report? What's been your top line item?
My top line item, I think, has got to be the federal hiring process. And OPM deserves a lot of credit, particularly John Barry, for trying to change the approach here. But the reality is, if you go down in the bureaucracy of the agencies, there's an awful lot of work that still needs to be done to improve the nuts and bolts of the federal hiring process.
And I'm always resistant to use the phrase anymore because we use it for everything, but it's there's a culture change that has to go on, and it's difficult to do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the culture change, I think, is largely due to the fact that literally for decades, folks who were working in the federal human capital community, who were HR specialists, had to deal primarily with a culture of compliance. Their job was to make sure, as they perceived it, that managers were following the letter of the law, the letter of the regulations, and that was their primary concern. Over the last several years, I think the expectations of federal managers who are not in the HR space have changed. They want the federal HR community to be partners with them in mission accomplishment. So the federal HR community needs to go through a culture shift where fulfilling the mission of the agency is really the ultimate goal, and the challenge then is to do that in a way that complies with all the appropriate laws and regulations, but the end outcome should be, how can we help those line managers accomplish the mission of the agency? Not, how can we make sure everybody is obeying the letter of the law and every line in the regulation?
And yet that's it's one of those things that's almost easier said than done. It can be very, very challenging to actually bring that about because people have been trained for so long that, you know, if you make a mistake, you know, you're going to be taken out in the on the mall and, you know, flogged or something like that.
That's right. And there are several things that can happen to advance the cause here. One would be to do what OPM has been trying to do for a number of years. I think what John Barry has put more energy into recently, trying to make sure that the federal HR community really understands what the full range of flexibilities are in the law and the regs. And just because in your agency you've only taken advantage of 10% of that latitude or 30% of that latitude over the last 40 years doesn't mean that you are not able to take advantage of 100% of those flexibilities going forward. So it's raising the comfort level of the federal HR community in part, and it's a culture shift, getting those federal HR folks to think of their job as using all the flexibilities within the law and the regulations to help managers accomplish the agency mission, rather than let's do what I know, let's do what I've done before, because at least I know I won't get yelled at if I don't do anything new and creative.
And that's one of the things that I often hear from folks either at OPM or OMB saying, hold on, there's a lot of flexibilities built into the system. People just don't take advantage of them.
They don't take advantage of them because they may not have personal experience with them, because there may be a learning curve, quite frankly, in and doing something a new way that you haven't done before, and perhaps there's no one to teach you.
Yeah.
But OPM can play the role of the tutor on how to take advantage of some of these flexibilities so that the comfort level with them in the agencies increases. And quite frankly, another thing that needs to happen here, I think, is when managers, when the HR community and agencies does try something new and different, still well within the law and well within the regs, they need to have some cover from their own senior management. If somebody in the IG's office says, "Now wait a minute, why are you doing it this way? You've never done it that way before. There must be something wrong." They need to have cover from the agency's senior management who can say, OPM told us six weeks ago or 6 months ago it was perfectly legitimate to take this approach instead of our traditional approach.
And it always seems like there's a certain element of managing risk. So, yes, you want to take risk, but you don't have to do it on the whole thing. Let's try. I'm always leery to use the term pilot because then some people say, oh, it's not becoming a reality. But at least try it out on a small case and then grow it quickly if it works.
That's exactly right. In case of a pilot, you need to have a cadre of people involved in the pilot who are smart and creative, are getting the support from their senior management that they need to have a decent shot at being successful at trying the new thing. And when they do have success, it needs to be broadcast far and wide, and their colleagues in other part of the agency, given the opportunity to take full advantage of the success and the lessons learned in the pilot.
There's on page 3 of the report, there's a great chart, what we have, what we need. And it goes through the 7 items of what we currently have, the current situation, and then what needs to be, if we're going to be able to do this well. One of the ones that surprised me a little bit, frankly, is number 3 on the list, uneven relationships. What we have is uneven relationships between chief human capital officers and OPM. What we need is OPM as a trusted advisor and resource.
Right. And I think what you're seeing there is that the not unusual experience with the career bureaucracy at OPM that I think hasn't really been turned on to John Barry's wonderful vision of how the agency ought to operate, in the sense that there are folks at OPM who frankly are more compliance oriented than they are oriented toward how can I help the agencies accomplish the agency mission. So there are cultural shifts that need to happen in a variety of places, and OPM is that's true of OPM as well as the line agencies.
Number 5 on the list is manual processes. What we currently have are manual processes that lack a robust HR IT solutions. What we need are technology and processes that streamline operations and produce data and results needed to manage effectively. We've heard this for a while, at least I've heard this for a while, and particularly at OPM, where just behind the tech curve.
That's true, and I think in a number of areas, the federal HR community has been slower than some other federal communities, most notably the financial management community, in terms of adopting technology. But a number of years ago, OPM laid the groundwork through the HR line of business, business reference model, and other documents to make it more feasible for agencies to take advantage of IT to improve their HR. But you can't just buy a piece of technology, stick it in front of people and say, use this, your life is going to be better. There's a significant amount of training that needs to go on, and you need to make sure that you're using technology that is going to work for your particular agency in your particular context. So there's an awful lot of change management and requirements planning that needs to be done up front, but before you you invest in some new technology to automate a previously paper-based process.
The other one that I wanted to specifically touch base on is the role of the unions, and specifically this comes up again, this almost adversarial role between management and particularly employee unions.
I think that that varies an awful lot from agency to agencies. I think some agencies have had bad relationships with their unions at various points in time. I think there are other agencies that have had good, solid working relationships, you know, for several decades. So I think that one is spotty. This administration, I think, deserves a lot of credit for trying to create an environment where management and labor are encouraged to work together. Of course, it is a two-way street. Folks on both sides of the table need to be willing and eager to find ways to work together. But I think the good news there is that unionized federal employees are still federal employees, and the reason they're federal employees is they care about the mission of their agencies, and they have that very much in common with the management of the agencies. So that particular recommendation, I'm very confident that a significant amount of progress can be made on. There's clearly common ground between a labor and management. They're both interested in advancing the mission of the agencies. And so that one I'm probably the least concerned about of the group.
Any part of this come that you walked away and you said, my goodness, I just never would have guessed?
No, I don't think that there were any real shockers in here. I think one of the things that's most telling is that we've been doing this survey for several years now, and what you see, I think, is over time, the level of expectations of the federal HR community has risen. When you're expected to be primarily in the business of processing transactions, and you're doing that well, and that's all that's expected of you, you're quite confident about your ability to perform. But the level of expectations has changed now. Agency line managers are really expecting the HR staffs to be internal consultants in some ways. And some of the data over the last several years suggests that HR managers are realizing that not enough of their employees are capable of performing in that sort of role. So I think you're starting to see in this year's survey an indication that federal HR managers are beginning to conclude that they need to upgrade the skill sets of at least some of the folks in the federal HR workforce.
But the thing I kept coming away with as I continued reading the report, my goodness, I don't remember a time of so much change happening so quickly.
Well, there, I think that's just a reflection of what's going on in American society more generally, you know, particularly with technology and the revolution in communications and the ability to share information. There's a lot more information out there. The information that we're getting is more current. And there are some significant demographic things happening in the federal workforce. More and more feds, as a percentage, are getting closer to retirement or are retirement eligible. And sooner or later, when their thrift savings plans, you know, recover from what's happened in the stock market, they actually are going to be retiring. So there's an opportunity, I think, here to reshape the federal workforce to a 21st century workforce with more advanced skills, with different competencies than perhaps we had in the 1960s, the 1980s, or even, you know, 10 years ago. And if we can manage that well and manage it creatively, the American people will be better off. They'll have a federal workforce that will deliver services to them more effectively and more efficiently.